Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 390. I am Chris.
Oh, shit. We are 10 weeks away from 400.
Yes.
It's true. Yeah. Tony is here.
My beer is not made of cardboard.
That's good.
It's not.
It'll be weird. Jeff is here.
My beer tastes like cardboard.
So you're drinking Miller
Lite? Yeah.
This tastes like nothing.
And Pete is here.
I just don't have a beer.
That's fair. Do you have cardboard, though?
Yeah, actually, I do, funnily enough. And you know how much it cost me? Fucking nothing.
That's fair, I guess. Okay, we're going to do something a little bit different today. We're going to jump right in the news.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I didn't play anything new anyways, so thank God.
I did, but I'll keep it till next week.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. And we'll definitely have some stuff for next week because Fozzie and Jeff got me to buy Thumper, so I'll be able to talk about that next week. So,
yeah,
but we need to talk about Bambi's mom.
Yes, she's dead.
She's dead.
Oh no!
Wait, what? No
spoilers.
They're all dead.
Okay,
hunting season. So let's do some news.
Yeah, I got four pieces. Three are pretty heavy and one's real light.
All right.
So I'll start with the quick one.
Oh, okay.
And the quick one is just that they announced Final Fantasy XV's like PC edition.
Ooh.
Which is basically like called the Royal Edition, which is also coming for Xbox One and PS4. It's basically a glorified Game of the Year edition.
Just has all the DLC.
It has all the DLC, but it also has a bunch of other stuff. So it has all the season pass content. Including like all three episodes and the multiplayer expansion, all of the included weapons, car skins, and item sets. But then there's also a bunch of other new stuff. So there's the Royal Vessel, which allows you to control the boat that moved in between Cape Cam and Altesia, like the Italian looking city.
Yeah.
There's an Armiger Unleashed, which says after you collect all 13 royal arms, which are like the special weapons, a more action-oriented mode of the Armiger is unlocked. So there's a more, I guess, focused reward on collecting all 13 of them. New features such as first-person mode, new gear, and new bosses. And they're adding an all-new dungeon, Insomnia City Ruins, which I guess might add more to the very last chapter of the game, which takes place 10 years in the future.
Right.
And so maybe that's to give that more content instead of being super linear. And if you don't want to... okay. So yeah, that's all for the PC version. The PC version also gets native 4K, HDR, mod support, blah, blah, blah. And there's supposed to be a upgrade package. So if you already own the game, and you just want to like get everything, you can just pay it a fee without having to buy a whole new $60 package.
Ooh.
But I
maybe I'll finally finish the game now. By which I mean I'll play more than the first like hour and a half.
Yeah. It's good. I liked it.
Yeah. I regret not playing it.
That's like the small bit of news. I do wish that more games would or more companies would allow for like upgrade fees instead of having people buy whole new packages. Just like,
oh man, there'd be a bunch I would already have gotten.
Yeah.
Like Hitman, like the fact that I own like a bunch of the chapters, but yeah. I only have like two more to buy, but I'm not going to like, it's almost cheaper for me to go out and buy the whole game than it is for me to buy those two chapters.
Yeah, for sure.
Like just let me upgrade.
Okay, so now, do we want to get into Nintendo stuff, or do we want to talk about Quantic Dream?
I don't want to be around the bush. We need to talk about the big news.
Quantic Dream, obviously.
Yeah, I was going to say, big news, no. Like, are we being realistic, or are we being us? Because if we're being
I'm being realistic, and it's Nintendo Labo, or whatever the fuck.
Okay, all right, hold on. Okay, so there was a Nintendo Direct on the 11th, last Thursday.
And they announced, we got that stuff too.
They announced it was basically just like a series of. Well, this isn't the whole list of games. Like,
it was a series of trailers.
It was a series of trailers. A bunch of them were ports, and a bunch of them were not ports. like, so like the big, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but like the big thing was like, hey, Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze is coming on May 4th. Dark Souls, the original, is coming on May 25th, which will include the Abyss DLC. And The World Ends With You Final Remix is coming, which seems neat because that game always seemed cool on DS and I never got into it. And this says the Switch version also promises a new epilogue. So it'll have, and also touchscreen support in both. So yeah, that one they'll like be updating and stuff. They announced a new Mario Tennis game. Hold on, let me see if I can.
It's a Kirby game.
Kirby. I'm trying to find like the whole list. And Super Mario Odyssey gets a new mode involving Luigi. Some like balloon hide and seek type thing.
That's pretty much the big things, right? Like,
I'm making sure Kotaku doesn't have a whole list. There's a new fighting game coming, SNK Heroines, which is like the most anime ass looking thing I've ever seen. Good lord! It's also coming to PlayStation 4 though, so that's not Switch exclusive. I just want to make sure that I'm covering all of the big stuff. The Final Fantasy 12 remake is coming to PC February 1st. By the way. In case anybody didn't want to play that on PlayStation 4. It will run at 60 frames and include New Game Plus and New Game Minus modes, whatever that means. Okay, all right, this has a whole list here. Mm-hmm. I'm just running real quick. Okay, yeah, no, it looks like that was all the big stuff.
I think it's pretty cool that in May we get like the hardest game of all time on that system, and then later in the month we get Dark Souls.
What's the hardest game of all time?
No, Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze.
Yes, dude. Oh my god, is that game fucking...
That's, I thought we were making a Dark Souls reference, and I was like, I think Demon Souls is even more obtuse than...
No, I was doing a little jokerino there, but yeah, dude, Tropical Freeze, fuck. Has anyone else played that game?
No.
I own Tropical Freeze.
I played the very first one, and I was not super into it.
I don't particularly love Donkey Kong Country, so
what's that, Chris?
I don't particularly love Donkey Kong Country. So.
I like them. I think Tropical Freeze is a very good game, but like, I mean, I'm telling you, it's like one of the hardest games I've ever played. You know, there's probably Super Meat Boy like is maybe a harder. Maybe, I don't know. I found parts of Tropical Freeze to be unbelievably hard. I don't know if I'll be rebuying it. There is a super easy mode though with it now. Like you get Funky Kong, I think his name is. Like,
yeah.
And he basically could do every platforming move on the planet. So it should be super easy to like get through levels. And I'm super stoked for Dark Souls on Switch. Like,
again? You're going to play through it again?
I don't know. I can't. Yeah. Like, I mean, maybe with a pro controller, but like, I can't. Like, the Joy-Cons seem like the worst thing in the world to play a game like that with.
Well, yeah. I'll probably be playing a lot of it.
I also just don't think, like, I don't know. Like, I can't bring myself to be excited for a port of a 7-year-old game at this point. Like, one that's been on every other platform already. Like, if all of a sudden they were like, Demon's Souls is coming to the Switch, like,
right,
that's a fucking big deal. Like,
and when that port is also coming to, you know, Xbox One and PS4,
right, and PC,
probably look better than it did on the 360 and on Switch.
Yeah, yeah. And like people were talking about like, oh, the portability of it, and so I'm like, I don't like. Again, I can't think of a game that's less portable than Dark Souls. Like, you know, like Dark Souls is not a pick up and play game. Like you don't play 30 minutes of Dark Souls on your commute and hope that.
I don't know. I think you could. A lot of times in that game, you'll be grinding and shit, or like, you know, you're just trying to like get better at an area.
So I mean, if you want to, I mean, yeah, if you want to use that time to grind souls and shit, like, I guess go for it. But like,
but you don't talk about it. You reach a new level. It takes you a billion, at least for me. It takes me like, I don't just do it the first try through. I fucking am doing practice, so
Right, you're going through and dying, and
yeah, and just getting better at it. Like, I don't know, I could see how to compute. You could, like, all right, I learn, you know, one more room, like where the enemies are, how to beat their asses, whatever. I'm that much closer to getting, you know, past this part.
It will be interesting to hear people, like, once they get their hands on it and see if they're playing it in, like, in tablet form or on the go, because it really, to me, it doesn't strike me as something that, and this is only because you can't really pause that game.
That's I wonder if they'll add that.
Like,
that seems like antithetical to the entire.
But to me, like that's something that, like, I think a good,
like,
mobile type game needs.
Well, here's the thing: when you hit the home menu on the Switch, I think it automatically pauses the game, anyways. Like.
This is true.
Like system level pausing, like,
yeah, like even if it's not, like, in the game, it's essentially like a pause button, dude.
Oh, right. I mean, that's what I did when I played Resident Evil 7. Like, if I wasn't near a typewriter or whatever, a notebook or whatever it's called, I was just like, I'm gonna put my PlayStation to sleep. And like, I mean, you know, it's not saving in the sense, like, if my system turns off, then I'm fucked. But, like,
yeah, and I guess nobody's gonna fucking invade you that way, so
no.
And but is also, that gonna, like, work? Maybe that's the only way you can actually do multiplayer on the Switch, is have, like, anonymous invasion.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure they're gonna have, like, the phantoms and all that jazz, the same, like, online, but only when you're all connected online, which, like, also, like,
yeah, if you're, like, whatever, driving.
Exactly. Well, yeah, if you're driving and playing Dark Souls, then you are really playing the hardest game.
Well, I always think of, like when we go on a road trip and I'm not driving at that point, like, that's probably the only time I will use Switch extensively in handheld form. I play it here and there in the house if we're all watching something and I don't feel like paying total attention. Like, I'll play on the tablet itself.
I played it on the plane for a little bit, and I mean, I guess you could play Dark Souls on the plane, I guess. It's also just not a way I normally play games, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited for it, dude. I don't care. I know it's been on everything. I have it on multiple things. Don't care. I'm so happy to get Dark Souls again.
But it never went away.
It never should go away. It should stay with us forever.
Just give me Demon Souls, man. I mean, Demon Souls is expensive.
I'd be fine with that as well.
Like, yeah.
So, some other stuff that they showed during the direct, though, was a game called Celeste.
Oh, right.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think they showed Dragon Quest Builders coming to Switch. Bayonetta and Bayonetta 2 are coming in February.
Yeah, baby.
And then, what was it? Kirby. I'm drawing a blank on the Kirby.
Something Allies or something.
Kirby.
Yeah. But that's coming in March. So.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. So that was it. Was like a mini direct. It was like a 15-minute. Thingy.
What is your guys' like assessment of their like first couple quarters there? Because I saw a lot of people being like very happy with it, and I'm like, you know, I'm happy about Dark Souls. You know, yeah, I guess Tropical Freeze is cool. I don't feel like anything was like, wow, cool. There was no like, and guess what? We're done with Pikmin, or you know, Animal Crossing will be arriving May 25th, or you know.
But none of that stuff's coming until later this year. Like, if it's coming this year.
So, I mean, if we're going to divide by quarters and stuff, like,
in terms of first half, like,
I wouldn't expect them to announce the first 6 months of their year's content in January. Like, I think they're going to do things in 3 month increments. And what we got basically, like in March, there's quite a bit of stuff. Most of it is ports, right? Like, Darkest Dungeon is coming. Dragon Quest Builders, Night in the Woods, but you know, you're also Lost Sphere is coming out at the end of January. Celeste is coming out into January. Bayonetta 2. I mean, that's also a port, but I mean, all Wii U games are new Switch games. I basically think of them.
I know what you're saying, Jeff. Like,
there's no big guns. There's Kirby, and that's not a big gun.
Yeah, Kirby Star Allies is March 16th.
Kirby and Tennis, which are both.
I mean, that's B tier at best.
But also, I think we are in B tier mode. Like, you're gonna be for a little bit, like, because they just released three A tier games.
Three?
Yeah.
I mean, they released Zelda, they released Splatoon, and Mario. Like,
that wasn't like a me being shitty. That was me. Yeah, like, no. I had no idea what that third one could be. I was like, Mario Kart doesn't count.
Because Mario Kart's a port, but Splatoon 2 is a pretty big game for them. Like,
and they support it. Like, it's not just like something that they shed out. And,
like, so and I do think we're like, we will get big games this year from them. I don't think we're going to get anything, you know, Mario or Zelda level.
I think, like, in terms of their tiers of franchises, if you wanted to do like AAA, like mainstream appealing Nintendo or whatever, the only other franchise they have that maybe matches the level of Mario is Pokemon, right? And I don't think we're going to get their Switch Pokemon game this year. I think we'll get maybe a trailer for it at E3, and it'll be a 2019 release. But I think you're going to have, this year is going to be B tier Nintendo. Or Smash Brothers. Smash Brothers is the other one. And
You're not going to get new Smash. If you get a Smash, it's going to be a Smash port.
Which, like, I think is fine because, like, all Smash games are basically ports of the last Smash game with new stages and new characters. Yeah. So, like, I don't have any problem with that in the sense of, like...
Yeah, and I mean, like, I think that because of the way the Wii U did, like, you can totally bundle up some of those games, that especially ones that had DLC, and do DX versions of them. So, like, Smash DX.
And even if you, like, you just bundle, what did they do, 5 or 6 DLC characters?
Oh, for Smash? Oh, they did way more than that.
Really? I remember Bayonetta. We don't need to recount them all, but I remember it was like Bayonetta, I remember 4 Cloud. Of them at least. Like, you know, big ones like Cloud and Bayonetta and Ryu and all that.
I could have sworn there were more. There was a bunch of character packs.
Oh, okay, but I mean, if you just take all those and then release more character packs, like another additional one, like that did make it better. Like, I think most people would be happy. Like, I don't think many people are going to look at it and be like, this isn't a new Smash Brothers game. And it's like, well, what more do you want? Like, they're out of characters at this point.
This is true.
Unless, you know, I think, like, the cool thing you could do is add, like, a Splatoon character to the game. And, like, people would get real excited about that.
Rabbids! We need rabbits in the game.
Oh my god, if a rabbit's in the game, I would be like, that would be cool. And each costume is a rabbit version of a Mario character from the game. That would be pretty good.
Yeah, so they what was it? It was Mewtwo, Lucas, Roy, Ryu, Cloud, Bayonetta, Korin. Like, there's...
Oh, okay, yeah, there was like, 6 or 7. Wow, okay, yeah. The Fire Emblem characters, my brain just actually, like, doesn't see them.
Because they're all the same.
Yeah. So like it's just one of those things my brain looks at and goes, oh, all Fire Emblem characters are in this game because all Fire Emblem characters are exactly the same. So, but yeah, like I bet you this year Nintendo, I don't even know. Cause like they announced a bunch of like, you know, people are like, what about Metroid? What about Pokemon? And it's like, those games were not even in development when they were announced. So.
I think we get a Pokemon game this year. I think that...
I mean, we're getting Detective Pikachu, but... Or do you mean like a 3DS game?
No, I think like Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon was their, like, hey, we were going to do something cool, but we're moving everything to Switch, and they put like a small team on that. And I think you'll get a Switch Pokemon game this year.
Like the one that they announced last year? Like their big...
Yeah, like a real Pokemon game, I think you'll get it.
I'll tell you what, though. If like that's their big... Like, let's say back half of the year, that's basically it from them. I'm going to be very sad because I'm not a Pokemon fan.
Oh, Pokemon's great.
But at the same time...
Like, I'll buy it. I'm sure.
That is their biggest franchise outside
of... I know. I understand that. I understand
that. I don't know why you would expect them to put out something like F-Zero or something like that. A franchise that has been...
F-Zero's dead. It's been dead. It's
been dead since the game.
I think you're crazy to assume it's dead, but...
It's dead.
Okay. But I do think that this fall,
it's as dead as that stupid squirrel that you always hope they
bring. I don't think it's dead. Why, if it's dead, why do they keep bringing it up over and over? You know?
They don't. When was the last time they brought it up?
They put it in fucking Nintendo Land. They put it.
Yeah, they also put them. They also put
Smash Brothers.
Right. They also put Samus in Super Smash Brothers, and they also put a Metroid little mini game in Nintendo Land. Like, those franchises exist to be part of other people's games at this point. Well, they don't exist.
Metroid's a real franchise.
Metroid's not dead. What are we talking about?
Metroid's not dead. Metroid does get. That
there was a Metroid game last year.
There was a remake of a Metroid game, but I mean,
and there's a Metroid put out
game. There was a Metroid game the year before. Like, it was that shitty one, the soccer game. But like,
that's what I'm saying.
They released Metroid games, so they have not released an F-Zero game in like 14 years.
Sure, you know, like, and but like,
F-Zero is dead.
I just think that people clamor for Metroid games, and then they don't sell. And every time Nintendo goes, "What are we doing?"
There has to be a calculation that they don't need to sell as much. Like, F-Zero, especially, it can't be. It's not going to be the budget of Mario Odyssey. You know what I mean?
No, but I also don't think. Like, I think you're overestimating the amount of people who would buy an F-Zero game.
I don't think I am. I'm just saying it would be cool.
I'm not disagreeing with you, Jeff. I just think, like, I don't see them like investing in that. Like, yeah, we got like, you know, Captain Falcon. We're going to throw him in the Smash. You know, we'll like throw some bullshit here and there because it's part of our history, and what we do best is nostalgia. But I don't think we're going to get like a real F-Zero game, like for them to actually invest in putting an actual F-Zero game together.
I mean, I remain, you know, confident that there could be one. Okay.
Okay.
And probably not made by them. You know, but
I mean, Retro's working on something, right? Those poor fucks.
But what I expect to see by the end of the year, at least I hope, is one of the two, Animal Crossing or Pikmin. I think Animal Crossing is so obvious, like it needs to come out on the
like
Switch.
I feel like Animal Crossing is more likely strictly via the mobile game. Like,
no way.
Yeah. No. What I mean is because of the mobile game, then putting a Animal Crossing on Switch seems really, because they tend to use these mobile games as marketing tools for their console releases, right? Like,
there's definitely going to be a Switch version of Animal Crossing, but I'm saying it's this year,
right? And I'm saying, like, that's fine. Like, I could buy that prediction. Like, Pikmin.
Pikmin is supposedly almost done since like 3 years ago. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to believe.
Maybe Miyamoto was just like, this is actually trash, and he just set it on fire.
If they actually want to bring back the Wii U version of Pikmin, I would totally buy that.
That game is fantastic. So,
right.
Yeah,
like,
I would buy it again.
My only hope is that like by E3 isn't just a list of like third-party ports and old Wii U games. Like, I wonder what original content they will have, like whether it's either games that are coming from Japan, like Shin Megami Tensei Cross Fire Emblem type stuff, or like stuff from within Nintendo directly.
That's more what I'm interested in seeing from them, not necessarily like the third party stuff, but actual new shit, like, you know,
new franchises, like Splatoon was.
Yeah, like
or Arms.
They gave us Arms, and like, I don't have any interest in that, but like, it shows that they do like make new shit. Like, give me something new. Give Captain Toad. Like, that was something within an existing.
Oh, dude, a Captain Toad sequel, I think people would flip their shit.
But like,
that'd be
like,
great for that system.
A third Luigi's Mansion?
I would buy it. Yeah, like, they have a well to pull from, but also, like Chris says, like, yeah. They do have these younger teams now, too, that are getting to do shit like Splatoon and Arms, and I'm sure we haven't seen the end of that. You know, I guarantee there's going to be new surprises. Hopefully some cool shit.
Maybe you're right, Jeff. Maybe it's not F-Zero, though, but maybe there is, like, some sort of new racing game.
It's F-Zero.
Because, like, they've done fighting games now with Arms. They did shooters with Splatoon. Like, maybe they try like a different type of racing game.
Right. Like I feel like they just realized that like the hardcore racing audience doesn't exist for arcade racers. right? Like
that's all I care about, though, bro.
Right. Well, you happen to be in the same place that Space Simulator players have been in for the past 25 years. Of like this genre that appeals to about 100 people on the planet.
And it's so weird because most people say like Burnout is the best race.
So happy now because Elite Dangerous exists.
Right, Elite Dangerous is amazing, and you know, I was gonna say Eve maybe, but Eve is in its own, you know, pocket universe, I guess.
That's a spreadsheet game.
Thank you. I was like, somebody has to say it. But yeah, so that was their Nintendo Direct, and then on Sunday, this story broke out of France about Quantic Dream, and it's basically a huge mess of allegations at the studio that they, let's see, sources told that it was basically like a schoolboy culture of like really sexist and homophobic and racist jokes. There was a lot of harassment, upper management towards lower stake employees. They were being worked to the bone, like long work weeks, sexual misconduct at parties, occasional racism.
Just occasional racism, that's okay.
Well, I'm reading the quote here. offensive office jokes, overall toxic work environment, and just overall like just gross shit and stuff. And this was published by French newspaper Le Monde. Which was translated by Eurogamer. And then the company responded saying they were categorically denying stuff, right? You know, that hit between the two people run Quantic Dream. There's David Cage, and then there's a dude with a really French name that I'm not going to try to pronounce because it is outside my linguistic skills. But together they put out a statement that were like categorical denial allegations. We conducted our own internal investigation and we investigated ourselves and have found nothing wrong. We have decided we are guilty of no crime. And then aside from that, there was allegations against David Cage himself that like he made people refer to him as what was it, Sun God or something like stupidly ridiculous or whatever.
Like in real life to his face, they have to say you're the
Sun
that God.
People had to refer to him as like King or Sun God and stuff like that. I always knew that this dude's ego was larger than the sun, but like
now he proved it.
Yeah.
I mean like, yeah. And then I guess other French outlets picked up on the story, but also had sources within the studio that confirmed this stuff. So the Kotaku story says three separate French outlets have reported this behavior and stuff. And then David Cage comes out and he basically pulls the I have black friends, so I can't be racist card. Yes, he does, but then he also pulls the I have gay friends, so I can't be homophobic. You know. Judge me by my work, which is hilarious because he says my work, like I am my work, and his work has like very weird politics. So
yeah,
that doesn't necessarily.
His work has gotten like a lot of criticism for his depiction of sex and like women and
right. There was the whole thing about
my impression was like that would not be a studio though that I would expect that type of culture at like.
Nah, this makes total sense.
Really? Because like, based on like, I get what you guys are saying. Like, yeah, there's things that people might not like in their games, but just seems on the just based on the type of game that they make, like they seem like they'd be like a serious instead of like a frat boy culture. You know?
This studio exists for like the masturbatory purposes of David Cage's mind, like.
I get what you're saying about like ego and this and that. He seems always like really pretentious to me, but like I never got the impression that he would run a fucking office that was like openly fucking sexist and racist and
It would like simmer below the surface, but it couldn't be open because it'd just be open to too much like criticism.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like it was like, open either, right? Like it was kind of closed off.
Right, like obviously, like the allegations are mostly against the studio. So there's like a bunch of male employees in particular that maybe this is focused on or something like that. That, you know, that there were 5 former employees filed a complaint in spring of 2017 against the company and one of its employees for circulating degraded images. In February of 2017, a trove of 600 photoshops of various employees that were homophobic or sexist in nature, some of which even included Nazi symbols, were discovered by an IT manager who had been the subject of some of these images. These files dated back to 2013, with some of them even being displayed in open spaces. Although David Cage and the other guy claimed that they weren't aware of the more offensive ones.
They were aware of some of them.
Yep. One includes a picture of a male stripper with David Cage's head holding a power tool with a dildo affixed to the end of it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So when does Sony drop them?
Right after this game comes out, basically.
Yeah, like, I guess they put too much money into Detroit.
But here's my favorite part before we get to that is the following statement that the other CEO says. He just says, "As for myself, I'm furious and outraged by these accusations, which I take very seriously, and I will take all possible legal actions to defend my honor."
That is
my favorite phrase.
He's challenge people to a duel.
I know, right? He's gonna walk into the courtroom with a katana and just fucking be like, "All right, we're gonna go out into the wheat field and we're gonna fight to the death." But yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, David Cage always came off as a giant tool, anyways. So like, this whole mess just like totally tracks and stuff. Like,
it just continues the theme of everybody is awful, just get used to it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Like, and like too. I don't like put much stock in people, so like every time one of these news stories comes up, I'm like, that makes sense. Sure, that person's totally a monster. Like,
I mean, it's super believable with David Cage.
Yes, no, absolutely. Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, his, like, you know, like he says, his work speaks for himself. There was a story that some people had put in with this just to talk about his personality and stuff involving Beyond Two Souls and Ellen Page, that she was unaware that the scenes of her in the shower were going to depict her entirely nude. She was told originally that the camera angles were going to be like, you know, neck high kind of stuff.
Right.
And so her lawyers had to like sue him because he refused to like take those scenes out of the game because they ruined the integrity of the storytelling or some bullshit.
Oh yeah, because you know we definitely need to see Ellen Page nude for his story to make sense.
Yep.
Right.
So you know, if you just need any like idea of what kind of guy this,
he's an artiste.
In fact, all guys of my stories from now on forward will have Ellen Page nude because it will obviously
it's help. Required.
Yeah, it will help my storytelling be better.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, like, and there was an article published today about on Waypoint or Game Informer. Shit, was it Game about it? And if Game Informer ever loads, I'll be able to tell you about it. But it was basically an article about crunch and, like, yeah, here it is. Yep. Like the awful labor practices of
how it shortens developers' lives and that kind.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, this article is 5 pages long on
how they're killing people who work in games.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, and like everybody remembers like the EA spouse letter, right? And stuff like that. And like, but like that changed a couple of things at EA, but it like didn't affect the industry at large and stuff like that. And, you know, like, and so toxic studio culture, like, is a problem that, like, permeates the game industry. It just crops up in different forms, you know. A lot of the crunch aspect is probably the most common, but, like, I won't be surprised if this stuff with Quantic Dream leads to other people finally speaking out. about just like the bullshit that they have to put up with.
Also, they should unionize, like regarding the horrible conditions and shit. Like,
yeah, 100%. Overworked. The problem is that
unionize,
like,
bros.
Is that like I don't know if the industry is still around, has been around long enough for that to mean something. Like, as in, like, I think a lot of people's fear with unionizing is that the companies will just be like, all right, you guys don't want to work here anymore. Well, guess what? There are colleges all over the world filled with people who would murder each other in cold blood to create video games. We'll just fire all of you and pay them 20 grand less and we'll be fine.
Are you going to hire some kid from college to make fucking GTA? Come on.
It's not even that, there are
developers in the industry already that will they will cut your throat to get that job. So like, if you're like, I'm part of this movement, we're going to unionize, there are plenty of people already in the industry that are like, all right, well, I'll take your job then. Like,
you absolutely can't replace own the studios. Like, if they weren't in management, you might have them as allies, but since they're not.
Yep.
Right. And I mean, and it's funny you mentioned GTA, but like, there were just as many people talking about Rockstar's like incredibly awful crunch schedule and stuff like that. And like the Hauser brothers are not going to be allies in people unionizing. Like, they're happy to work all their people to the bone.
Yeah, but there's top people. Like, I don't even know how much you could credit them doing the code and shit. Like, there's top people doing these games.
I don't know. They fired what's his name, right? Leslie something of another. We talked about that early last year.
At Rockstar, yes.
Yeah.
The fixer. The closer or whatever.
Right, whatever. Yeah, you know, like, I don't know. I'm sure it's possible that maybe a small segment would, but like Tony and Chris were saying, like, you know, if a company tries to contract a studio and they give their union demands, and there's another studio that's desperate for money and doesn't have those demands, like, the choice is obvious. Like, they're going to go with the quote-unquote non-union studio, you know? Like, you would need to unionize across the board.
Absolutely.
Getting the games companies...
It would be individual companies. There's no way.
Right.
It has to be a trade-wide thing where it's like, yeah, you might be able to find someone else that can fucking do it if they're a fucking scab or, like you said, they're a kid in college. Like,
right. I would need to do my history about the movie industry and how they managed to unionize the entire place. But if you just look back to last year when the SAG-AFTRA thing was going on and how fucking hard it was to get the games industry to even tell actors what kind of role they were applying for. Like, these people don't want to play ball whatsoever. Like, even things that didn't even involve money, you know? Like, you know, especially minimal amounts of money, like residuals up to a maximum of $3,000 extra dollars, like, for major, like, lead roles and stuff like that. Like, the whole thing is fucked across the board. Eventually, though, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point, maybe in the next 5 years or so, there's just a mass exodus of talent and like a crash of some sort, or everybody just goes indie and like nobody. I mean,
that's the direction.
That seems to be like, if you know, we all keep a pretty good eye on the industry. That does seem to be how this goes, though. Is like there are mass exoduses all the time because these jobs, like, they burn people out so quick that they're just like, we're out. Like,
yeah,
we're moving on to, I'm going to go code for a fucking bank because I can go home at 5 o'clock and it's bullshit work and they pay me 3 times more. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm just skimming this article real quick and like, just talking about how like, it like just kills people. You know, like not only like it physically kills them, like,
yeah,
and stuff, like it just burns their immune system out and stuff. I mean, that's not even to say of things like people getting divorced and losing their kids over like
which
stuff
also
like this.
Shortens your life, by the way.
Oh, 100%. You know, and I mean, you know, this also extends to things like just labor laws in the United States and whatever. And it's a larger you know, you could go to the top chain on this whole thing, but like, but yeah, like to a lot of people, a lot of contracts just say that, hey, your salary includes crunch. So like, you're not like, this is not overtime. This is what you signed up for. And that's fucked. That's real fucked. Like,
yeah, it's awful.
I read stuff like this and I'm like, I would just vomit at like the idea that like, I don't actually know how many, but I mean, I know people got to eat, so you do what you got to do, but like, holy.
Just get a bunch of Coke and.
No.
I mean, I bet you.
On the list of things that shorten your life, that's on there too.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. But you'll get the project done.
Right, and then you know what? It won't sell well, and then you won't get your bonuses because you didn't hit your Metacritic limit, and then the company will fire 60% of your workforce.
Yay!
congratulations. You worked in the video games industry. Anyways, I could go on for that forever. But let's get to the real news.
Yeah.
Yesterday. So earlier this week, actually, let's go back even a little bit further. There were rumors floating around the internet that Nintendo was going to follow up their mini direct with something else. People were like, oh, what is it? Is it a full direct? Is it this or that? And then Nintendo was like, nah, it's an interactive experience related to the Switch. And some people were like, okay, is it a peripheral? Is it like just a software update to the Switch? Like new firmware, new OS, blah, 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 blah. No, it's like, it's...
Hold on, though. Their message, though, also said... I want to give them credit for this, though, okay? Their message also said, it's for kids and those young at heart, or something like that. Like,
yeah, those so who are kids at heart.
It was going to be, like...
Right.
Something dumb, probably. You didn't realize
how dumb it would be. Some people also thought it was, like, an amiibo thing or whatever. Like, they were like, oh, shit, it's another, like, Animal Crossing Party amiibo game or whatever.
Like, I was thinking to myself, it would be, like, a game that somehow, like, really utilizes the amiibos or whatever.
Right, like, you put your Zelda amiibo on the pad and, you know...
Like, it's, like, a design around the amiibos, like Skylanders.
I'm just going to read what this says. It says Nintendo announced Nintendo Labo, which Labo, by the way, continues. I wonder if the Treehouse just has a dictionary of made up words and they just like spin it as part of like Wheel of Fortune almost to decide what kind of weird made up word they use for their brandings. It is a wild new experiment for the Switch that will allow players to insert the console into assorted pieces of cardboard, creating items like robots, fishing rods, and pianos.
Okay.
Nintendo Lab combines the magic of Nintendo Switch with the fun of DIY creations, the company explains on the lab.
Hold on, I gotta be right back. Just go ahead without me.
I'm trying to... I really hope that this appears at E3 because I want Reggie to say all this with a straight face. You'll start with a piece of cardboard, which you can use to build one of these items, and then you'll put the Switch in to power it up. Then you'll be able to play games with your creations.
Ooh.
Okay. So here we go. Like, here we go.
Can it actually work?
All right, Nintendo Labo will be out on April 20th. The company said you'll be able to buy two different sets.
420, yeah. What a great...
The variety kit for $70 and the robot kit for $80. Per Nintendo, the $70 variety kit includes two Toy-Con RC cars. Toy-Con is their fancy word for these cardboard creations.
Toy-Con?
Yes. And out of the Treehouse Dictionary of made-up bullshit... A Toy-Con fishing rod, a Toy-Con house, motorbike, and piano. The piano works because you stick the
Joy-Cons.
The Joy-Con in it. Yeah, and so yeah, you press the cardboard buttons down and it makes noise or whatever. And then the $80 robot pack will let you create an interactive robot suit with a visor, backpack, and straps for your hand and feet, which you can wear and assume control of a giant in-game robot.
Yeah, I saw that. That looks really dumb.
It's all real dumb.
I don't know. Like the RC car looked pretty cool.
Both kits will come with all the cardboard and software you need. You can also dish out an extra $10 for a customization set, which includes stencils, stickers, and color tape to fix all the cardboard you and your kids break. Not that you aren't already paying $70.
I'm pretty sure that's not Nintendo's actual line. Like, is that actually from Nintendo?
No, but it should be.
All right, so I was making fun of this when I saw it because I'm like, okay, it's a toy, it's cardboard, the software's probably not going to work. And then my kid saw the ad, and he got so incredibly excited.
Oh my
there might be something to this.
Well, and that's what I'm hearing
for me. But
my kids have not seen it yet.
Keep them away.
But I have heard this from multiple people that have kids that like they are pretty hyped about it.
Yeah, and like, look, I get why kids are hyped for it because kids are hyped for stupid shit all the time.
I would be surprised. Like, I'm very surprised by what you guys are saying that they're actually
no, because like, look, it says Nintendo on it. Number one. Number two,
my kids don't care about Nintendo though.
Yeah. No. Yeah, you don't, but like mine would. Or I don't have kids, but I mean like my little siblings would. Like they'd be like, oh my, like, but my little siblings, they also like work with Tinker Crates. I don't know if Chris, if you've ever heard of these. Like they're like loot crates, but they come with little like electronic and mechanical projects instead, like and step by step blueprints.
Okay, yeah, like you know, build shit, yeah.
Right, like, so, like, the last one that they got came with tools to make a hand crank flashlight. So, like, you know, had a little circuit board, electronic pieces, right. And then yeah, like, at the end, you, like, yes. You can crank it and it generates electricity, and voila, there's light and stuff. Right, so, you know. Or you can just, like, you know.
There's lots of stuff like that, yes.
But it also doesn't cost them $70.
This is true.
Which is like, so like last night I got very angry on the internet and that was for a whole host of reasons, but the biggest one was the price point. And there are a lot of people comparing this to Lego sets and they're like, oh, Legos are also really expensive. And to that I would say Legos are expensive for two reasons. One, the high quality plastic that Legos are made out of. Legos don't really easily break, which is...
Really? That hasn't been my experience.
You've really? Had you've broken Legos?
God, my kids have broken so many Legos.
I don't think I've ever
like thin
Lego
pieces or just
life.
Like actual like bricks? Because let me tell you, I've stepped on many Legos.
The bricks,
and...
okay, the bricks don't break, but the like the stuff they care about, like the characters, like the
really?
Actual like figures, will break. Really
oh yeah, like, so they have a you know
oh the neck snaps and whatever
articulated pieces, like the arms can fall off. Yeah,
the hands break, like...
Sure.
And Well, I'm referencing mostly bricks. Specifically, like, because, A, I've stepped on a billion of them, and it hurts like hell. They don't break under my considerable amount of weight.
No, bricks are... They're pretty durable.
And bricks are, like, the biggest reason that Legos cost as much as they do is, like, the insane amount of quality assurance that goes into Legos, making sure that, like, every Lego fits with every other Lego ever made, basically. And stuff like that. Like, I don't really think Nintendo is making sure that every piece of cardboard will always fit with every other piece of cardboard.
Well, I'm sure it'll fit, but it's... guys. I have to call a spade a spade here. This is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard of in my life.
If the software works, it could be pretty awesome.
Which, by the way, I'm surprised to hear Jeff say, because this is a man who willingly went out and bought a copy of Sonic Forces. So, yes. I honestly thought he was going to pre-order this.
And PSVR. Like, I thought Jeff would be here at day one, but...
Dude, you know what this is? Don't you remember when the Wii came out, they sold you the Wii Sports Pack where you could get, like, a fucking tennis racket, fucking baseball bat? It's
no, they got all that. They got all that dumb stuff. And I never trust a Nintendo peripheral. I never do.
It's the same thing.
They never end up supporting it.
This seems a little bit different, Jeff.
So, like, this...
It's a repackaging of that idea, but so much stupider. Okay, this thing comes out of the box, and you make a card, like, you fucking fold it into a fucking little pizza box, and then you can fucking look through
it. But pizza boxes are remarkably sturdy. Like, it could work. Like, this could potentially work. I would have to, like, touch one. I don't believe in the idea, like, having that, like, actually, like, fiddled around with one. But it could work.
Yeah, like, I've seen some, like, cardboard craft stuff. And when done right, like, it's really cool looking.
Yeah, and I don't deny the ingenuity of the idea itself. Right? Everyone was like, oh, kids getting into STEM, why are you shitting on it? And I'm like, because the kids that want to get into STEM are going to go, mommy, can I get this thing? And mommy's going to look at it and be like, you want me to pay $70 for a bunch of cardboard?
That's not true.
Like,
I think if that's what, like, they're getting into, like, hey, like, I want to build shit, I want to learn about shit, like, as a parent of somebody that has kids that are into STEM stuff, like, no, like, if my kid were to come to me and be like, look, can I have $70 for this? What's it for? Sure, here you go. Like, it's a lot of money, but, like, you put that money out for your kids.
For them, I mean, yes, but you also understand that, like, it's not just a bunch of, but like on the outset to somebody who doesn't like look into the games industry and stuff, like they are going to have to do an insane,
oh yes,
insanely like precise job of making sure that that's not what this appears like, because then you're just going to wind up with 2DS, 3DS confusion all over again. And like people being like, wait, is it a game system itself? Do I need to buy the system with it? Like, which is another thing entirely.
I don't think they're going to, I mean, they're going to sell this as a game.
Yeah, I guess
they have to.
Dude, like, this goes down in history as Wii Music, as Wonder Book, as any of that shit. Dude.
Oh well, Wonder Book is the other thing.
Like, that, you guys are all way too sold on it. Like,
that was the other thing.
I don't think you listened to what I actually said. No, but all like, I said was it could work. I didn't say,
and you did say like your kids, like look, if your kids and are saying it looks cool.
Yeah,
you know, I can't testify to that. My assumption was, kids would look at it and think it was really fucking stupid. Like, they would mock it as well. But
yeah, I kind of thought that would be the case too, and that's not what happened.
Yeah, I
we'll see. I could be totally wrong. I've been wrong many times on the show, but
I am 100% sure that this is not for us.
No. And I'm not mad that it isn't for me. Because most of the things are not for me. Like
my son saw that damn robot thing. He got so excited. He's like, I want to be a robot.
I just think that, A, I think it's hilarious that people laughed Wonder Book out of existence.
I've laughed at that as well.
Like, cheering this as the next evolution of, you know, Nintendo's greatest magical, like, idea from on the heavens. It's like, okay, well,
I thought Wonder Book would be a cool idea, except like everything with Sony, I knew that they would release two things for it and never do anything with it again.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yes, for sure. Like, I'm not denying that.
Nintendo is going to push cardboard down our throats for 2 years. There's going to be a cardboard shortage.
And see, that's
able to fucking get cardboard.
Like, if they continue to come out with more packs and stuff, then like that maybe also aren't $70, but also, the price point, I think, is still obscene.
The price is slightly more than a game.
Yeah, it's
like the price point is not an issue.
You know what the parents is going to say is, oh well, it's the price of a game plus you pay $10 extra because it's like
for the cardboard. Right?
I don't know. Yeah. From what I've heard from everyone saying, it's a small mini game collection, and if people were shitting themselves over 1-2 Switch costing $50 costing a full price.
Yeah, but you're talking about us shitting over 1-2 Switch.
Parents don't think about that. They're like, that's the price of a game.
Exactly. Like, $60 is the price of a game I'm going to get. And I bet 1-2 Switch did okay for Nintendo with people that aren't us.
I wonder.
Yeah. It's like a stupid game you can play for 10 minutes when people come over, you know?
Right. Like, I don't think it's a good game at all, but
excuse me.
My guess is that like it probably did okay.
What month and one? That was the March.
It was March 3rd.
Sold over a million copies.
Son of a bitch, man! People are real dumb.
I mean that's what we're getting at though, right? Like, is that?
I mean, yeah, it's 13. It was 13th on the month. Didn't crack top 10, but like, was 13th on March's
NPD. Yeah, it's sold over almost 500,000 copies in Europe, about 340,000 here in the US, and then almost 300,000 in Japan.
Like of all, like this idea seems like the perfect pack-in for the Switch. Like, if this, like, imagine if the Switch box was one of these cardboard things.
And,
and then, like, the mini game, like, came packed in, and it's like, hey, instead of just throwing the box away, now you can use the box to create game little games to play, and you immediately have something to use, like, you know, to play, because the Switch, you know, doesn't come with anything or whatever. And then you have, like, a new, like, Wii Sports thing for kids, like, 8 and under or whatever.
I don't disagree with you, Pete, but also this is a company that released Toys to Life with no life.
For sure.
Like, yeah, like, there was no game, yet yeah. They are the most successful Toys to Life thing and the only thing still standing in that industry.
Which is just maddening. But
right? Like, I mean, for everything that Nintendo does wrong, they sometimes have a track on things that we just don't understand.
I also think sometimes they fall ass backwards into their own success, which sure. is how I would explain the Amiibos, of just like, people love Mario. What if we just made a figure with Mario? And like, well, sometimes you get 10 coins if you plug it into your game. Like, and then everybody was like, we want to collect the shit out of these things, even though they don't have any, they have very few to limited actual use cases in the games. Like, they scratch that. Also, they, like, I mean, they're masters of supply constraint, right? And that certainly helped their Amiibo.
Well, thing. I don't know if masters is the word I would use, but they definitely suffer frequently from supply constraints.
Sure, but I mean, like, when they were like, Nintendo, Amazon was like, Nintendo only gave us 20 Marth Amiibos. This is when they go on sale. Each one costs $30. You know, set your alarm clocks for 4 in the morning.
Right, because this is when we're putting them out.
Right, so, like, you know, like, they know how to play the market and stuff, and, you know, this just goes along with my idea that, like, if you slap a Nintendo logo on it, people will buy it.
I will say that piano does look pretty cool.
Like, right, like, I think, like, I think some of the ideas are cool, and from what I heard,
I,
like,
don't know what you'd use it for, but
you play little sound effects and tones on it, it says.
Yeah, that's dumb. Like, I think that's stupid. But the piano itself looks like, I mean, as a piece of cardboard craft, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
So what is the what is the RC car? Like, how does that work?
RC car, you insert the left and right Joy-Con into your newly built RC car and control its movement using touchscreen controls on the Nintendo Switch console. The HD rumble feature in the Joy-Con controllers will cause vibrations that move the car in the direction you choose.
Yeah. No, that actually looks pretty cool.
That is fascinating.
I've heard the best and most interesting one is actually the fishing rod one.
The fishing rod one was one that was like, huh, that's interesting. Because, yeah, like, it looks like it goes behind or hooks up to the Switch somehow, and, like, you're actually reeling in fish from the screen.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And think of how often you're going to want to play that one.
Never. I never want to play it, but it does look cool.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I just...
But I'm also... So, like, I don't want to play any of this stuff. But
yeah, I know. Whatever. If kids like it, God bless them. But I personally, like, think it's so fucking stupid and, like, terrible in every way, and it sends the wrong message about what the system should be, like, or what the system has been.
No, it's not. I don't know.
What is that? Right.
I think Nintendo has always been about, like, releasing, like, stupid shit and, like, seeing what sticks. You know,
it feels like a step back. It feels like we're doing Wii shit again. You know, that's not a big deal though. And I don't think that this product is a big deal either. I think it's like a thing they're trying out. I think it'll be a flash in the pan. You guys seem to think it has legs. We'll see.
No, you have not listened to what we've said.
No, you guys are talking it up. I think.
No,
has Jeff listened to anything I've said? I think I've said.
I don't think it utterly sucks. I think if the software works, it could be pretty cool. Yeah. But I don't know that the software will work. It's one of those things, like, I need to touch it before I, like, make my mind up on it.
So I'm saying, even if it works, I'm saying even if it works, I don't like it. It seems so stupid.
And then the robot kit, which lets you strap cardboard to yourself. Is $80.
I think kids that are, like, even excited about it will keep their interest for, like, a day or two. You know, I don't know.
This is possible, but you never know.
But anyways, worst idea ever. So, it's like it was like comically bad. It was like if you came up like if you were trying to come up with like what is the craziest, most insane, like stupid thing ever that like Nintendo could come out with, like that was kind of like
dude, no, they, the worst idea ever was that stupid Tony Hawk board. That was the worst idea in
game. Pretty close.
It's heart monitor. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh yeah, well the Vitality system, it never existed.
Yeah, it never hit. Like, it never
I mean, that was dumb, but it never yeah. actually came out. They cut that shit before.
I bet you, if you still ask Reggie about it, he's like, maybe one day we'll bring it out. You never know. I don't know. I look at this stuff and I think to myself, would people laugh at this if Sony or Microsoft announced it?
Yes.
And like, that's one of my larger complaints of just like, you put the Nintendo logo on it and it's suddenly revolutionary, but anybody else does it and it gets, people would like, Sony puts this out and people are like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Like, what is this? You're putting cardboard in there for the DualShock to like move and like do funky little crafts and stuff? Like, guys, and it's $70? Like, I can see the articles people writing of the insanity of this. And maybe it's because Nintendo's known for being just fucking insane in the first place. But I don't know. I think the fever is perhaps a little much.
Hey, the only prescription is more cowbell.
It's true.
All right. I think that's just about it.
I wish Fozzie was here because he seemed to be the person who was like, out of the five of us, who was like super into it.
That's what blows me away too, is like the people that are like, this is really cool, guys. And like, why would you talk shit about a game that's educational, blah, blah, blah. It's like, just because it's educational doesn't mean it's fucking cool. See, like, why doesn't mean I have to say it's fucking like a good idea.
What?
You know what else is like, read a goddamn book.
What is the software though?
The software are like little mini games. So yeah, I read Verge's article and I read Polygon's article or one other site. There was a collection of five of them and I read three and skimmed the other two.
What makes people think they're educational?
No, so it's not educational. So people are applying this people are looking at this as like an intro to STEM for people, for like kids, and STEM is like the like mathematics and engineering side of it, just like humanities or like English and whatever and blah 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 and stuff. So everyone's like, this will get kids interested in like engineering and building and the shit like that. And it's like, I mean, that's entirely possible, but at the same time, like, I think there are better ways to do that.
I think software needs to point you in that direction as well.
Right. And I don't think that, like, I don't necessarily know what that needs to be. Is it the software just need to be like, hey, you built something and now it does something? Or
I don't know.
Right, like all I know is that the software is basically the instruction booklet, and then once you've completed all the steps in the instruction booklet, it launches the little mini game, or like,
so like have you play? So like you play the music on the piano or whatever,
right? And like the animals like dance or whatever on screen and stuff, right? Or you do the fishing thing, right? And it,
I don't know. As Tony says, like I think that the software needs to work.
Yeah,
like, if it doesn't work, then doesn't matter if this is something cool that could get kids into STEM. If it doesn't work, it's going to turn them off regardless.
Right. And by don't work, do you mean like appealing wise, or like don't work as in like it's buggy as shit? It's
not fun and buggy and
you know. Right. Like if it's buggy,
I think it's not going to be buggy. It's Nintendo. It's going to work.
I
don't know. But
remember the time he tried to play Skyward Sword on stage? Motion controls, man. Sometimes they just don't do what you want to do.
I think the technology is advanced enough, and Nintendo is just, they're not going to put a thing out that's completely broken. Skyward Sword
I don't know.
Broken.
I don't think it'll be completely broken, but like,
impressions say that the fishing rod game works, but the RC car one doesn't so far from the people who went to New York and played it. Like the motorbike and the RC car are like the quote unquote worst ones. Where it's just like, yeah, it vibrates the controller, and sometimes it's enough to move it. Sometimes it just sits there and shakes. You know, but you know, your mileage may vary, I suppose.
Yeah. Oh, well.
But, yeah, I don't know. People were losing their minds over cardboard, and it blew my mind.
Yeah. it really does, dude. Like, I'm really amazed by how much, like...
I'm telling you, man, you slap Nintendo logo on a plastic bag, man, and people will be like climbing over each other in droves to pre-order it.
It sounds like an Onion article, like video game company sells public a cardboard box that you fold into a fucking controller, and you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Hold on, there was a quote from Michael Pachter that I enjoyed, that I saw on Twitter. Ah, shit. Hold on. Let me look. Because it perfectly encapsulates this entire argument.
It was like when you're a kid and you made a fucking TV out of a cardboard box and put on a TV show. Like, that's the level of, like, what we're selling here for $70. Use your imagination, right, kid.
And, like, $70, like, that, I will never be able to get over that price point, personally.
It's ridiculous.
Like, I think that's... a huge... Oh, here it is. I don't think Nintendo fans are so stupid that they would buy a piece of cardboard, he suggested on Bonus Round. Like, this is something he actually said, like, years ago. A box, on the other hand, that says Nintendo on it, they probably would. Remember when you were a kid and you get gifts, and when you were really little, like, and you liked the box better than the gift? That's how I think of Nintendo fanboys.
He said, like, that a long time ago.
It's from the Bonus Round. The quote, the article links to the... exact episode, but yeah, a box on the other hand that says Nintendo on it, it's perfect.
Yep,
it's just like Black Mirror, right on the edge of the future.
Just like I want a Black Mirror episode where the kids are shipped little cardboard creations, but they actually are like 3D printed guns with Nintendo on them, and so everybody buys them not realizing that they've just given their child a weapon. Oh my god.
One final piece here. Xbox chief Phil Spencer has he is now part of the Microsoft
elite
management team, I guess, like with the big people. But he has appointed Matt Booty, who was running Mojang. He has a great name, right?
I almost said something. Tony beat me to it.
He was.
I was beat you to the booty, Pete.
Formerly running, he was formerly running the Minecraft studio Mojang. He is now in charge of Microsoft Studios as a whole.
Nice. Maybe they'll start putting out games again.
Nah, yeah. That's not necessary.
Right now, I guess all that is confirmed from them is Sea of Thieves, Crackdown 3, and State of Decay 2.
I will believe Crackdown 2 is a real game when it actually winds up...
Crackdown 3.
Sorry, when it's actually released, finally.
Yeah. I agree. That is... Sea of Thieves is a real game. They are saying it's coming out mid-March.
You can play it now if you're in the beta.
Yeah.
I hope that succeeds, because it seems kind of cool, and I want to watch people play videos of it.
And State of Decay 2, I guess that'll be out sometime
too. Does that have a release date, or is that just like summer projected again?
I thought the when I looked the other day, it said like March 31st or something, but that seems like a placeholder.
Yeah, that's a end of fiscal or quarter date. Yeah,
yeah, it's also the date that Crackdown 3 has, so they're both not coming out that day. So, I don't know. Right now, that's a better lineup than what Microsoft had last year, though. So,
yeah, for sure.
They had a lineup last year.
Yeah, exactly. And I figure there'll be a new Forza Horizon and Halo 6 will be this year. So,
ooh, yeah,
right. Halo. Oh, that reminds me. Like, there were rumors floating about that the Playground people.
Playground is working on
Fable. A Fable game, which
yes.
means, like, if it doesn't have Balinu, maybe that means it'll be able to
actually be released.
Stand on
its own. Well, no, but, like, you know, it can set reasonable goals and actually
hit them.
Bring them to life. So, yeah. And, you know, Microsoft needs another franchise, I think, that isn't just a racing franchise or a third person shooter, or a shooter rather in general.
Yeah, they could use a, you know, a fantasy RPG.
And the first two Fables were big for them, so
Fable 3 was big for them too. It just had a weird ending, right? Like, it was just not.
Well, I just thought that was like the biggest case of Molyneux claiming it to be the greatest game ever made, and
yes,
being like, no, this is actually literally the opposite of what you told me.
It was not a bad game, but the fact that Peter Molyneux talked it up the way that he did made it seem a lot worse than it actually was.
So him not being attached to it could be very good.
I was going to say, that like, in of itself makes me way more interested.
And I think the Ori sequels is supposed to be this year.
Oh, that would be nice. Is it a second Ori game, or is it just a second game by the company?
No, it's a new Ori game.
Oh, wait, no, I remember that. Shit, what is it called?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, but I'm going to play that on PC, so that'll be cool.
Ori and the Will of the Wisps?
Yes.
I hope it's easier.
Nah, it's no fun if it's easier. I thought you liked hard games, Jeff.
That one is one of those ones. I don't know.
Sounds like you're just bad at games.
It's true.
You just need to get the combat, Jeff.
It's true.
Once you get it, it'll be easy. You'll understand.
Not combat. It's like,
it's platforming, but yeah, it's whatever.
Terrible race against time platforming.
Yeah, I agree that some of those escape sequences are just total bullshit. Yeah. But like the rest of it's really good.
You have to be perfect to hit them.
Oh my god, that waterfall escape sequence midway through that game.
The rest of the game is so good that it makes like worth getting past those parts that I think are like they need to ease up a little bit, dude. Jesus Christ, come on, give me a break.
Well, so that's it for the first news cast of the year.
It's only been 2 weeks, guys. 2.5 weeks, man.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be more bullshit coming out.
I hope when the aliens come, they just burn this planet to the ground, and First Contact is just a laser beam that wipes out all of humanity.
But
except for me, I want
to. it's just Jeff.
Jeff's left behind with
Jeff and Cliffy B. Those would be.
I will.
Oh fuck. Cliffy B wants to fight the aliens, and Jeff wants to leave with the aliens. Who will win?
I just want to be left alone.
I will set up, and yeah. I will set up in Mall of America and make that like my fortress or whatever. And then
be no electricity. It's gonna be dark in there.
And then it'll slowly turn into Dead Rising.
I'm surprised they never tried setting a Dead Rising game in Mall of America. Like that seems perfect for that game, for that series.
Well, I mean, the first one was like a big mall.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
All right. Now, next week, we will be back with some games. I played Thumper, so we'll talk about that. Tony said he's played something new.
War of the Chosen.
Oh, shit, nice. Oh, yeah, Tony, but I didn't mean this should have been a news. Did you see the Total War China thing that they announced?
Oh, yeah, I'm all over it. Yes.
I was going to say, Tony has already got his
Total War Three Kingdoms.
That's game of the year of 2018.
Well, no, because there's a whole bunch of other, like there's the Total War Britannia one is coming out too. So
decide
which of the Total War games coming out this year is the best and make that my game of the year.
I was going to say, it's going to be a debate, like game of the year at the end of this year. It's just going to be Tony fighting with himself over which Total War game gets the vote.
And the Monster Hunter World beta is this week, and
the Dragon Ball Z beta is. There's supposed to be another day-long beta. Beta.
Are we in the beta if we pre-order? I feel like I should.
Monster Hunter or Dragon Ball?
Monster Hunter is free for everybody on PS4. I don't think the beta is on Xbox One.
Damn it!
But I'm gonna download it on PS4 to try it. I did pre-order it though.
It's only days away, so.
So I'm with you and Tony and Fozzie, Jeff. We can go hunt some monsters together.
I am definitely going to be playing that game.
Yeah, ask if there were plans for an Xbox One beta. Tsujimoto replied, no. We are focusing on PS4 right now.
Well, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, I wonder if, like, yeah.
Suddenly I want to switch my
I'm sure it's going to play fine on Xbox One. It's just, they're just like they don't give a shit about the Xbox. So
no. As an added bonus, Sony has also revealed a Monster Hunter World themed PS4 Pro console bundle, complete with custom controller and copy of the game.
find it kind of surprising that Switch didn't get Monster Hunter. Considering
I don't.
It's not going to run on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like this. They made
Doom run on it.
What?
They made Doom run on it.
Doom is old now.
Yeah. Whatever. It's a 2-year-old game now, Jeff. Come on, man. Only old games go on the Switch.
Whatever. when is Wolfenstein coming to Switch?
Like, wasn't that Switch April? Wolfenstein, yeah. Like
Wolfenstein to
Switch. Also, I don't think Wolfenstein's a great looking game, but
oh, it's not, it's really not. Let's see here. Like
I mean,
I love that game for everything basically, but it's like graphical fidelity. I don't know. So far on Nintendo's official website, it just says 2018. So there's not even an official release date yet. Yeah. GameStop has it listed as 12/31. So it's not even announced yet.
Yeah. So other than that, we'll be back next week. Tony and Fozzie will be fighting it out this weekend.
Will.
To see who's
who's
going to the Super Bowl.
Hats versus Tags.
Will it be the Super Bowl bound Jags that have been Super Bowl bound for the last for 7 years? Time.
Are we that close now? Is the Super Bowl like almost? I guess it's almost February, right? So which teams are it? Is it Patriots and Jags?
Patriots and Jags playing. Conference.
And the Vikings and Eagles.
I hope the Jags
win. Jesus Christ, I saw the entire city of New Orleans just deflate.
Dude, I watched the YouTube clip of the last 25 seconds of that game. And that's all you need to watch to understand everything that everyone was talking about.
I was in a bar, and the owner of that bar was giving drinks out. And, like, he was so elated. He's like, everybody needs to come back next week. And then that happened, and you just, like...
What happened? Never mind. I never actually watched what happened.
Okay, so it's Vikings and Saints, right?
It was the Vikings and the Saints.
Yes, yeah. Okay. So it's a 24-25 game. The Saints have they're at 25. There are literally 20 seconds left in the fourth quarter. The Vikings throw the most Hail Mary pass that I have ever seen in my life. Like, this dude almost lands out of bounds with the ball. Somehow manages to get in bounds, runs it back, and as the clock hits, like, 2 seconds, he touchdowns, and the game is just over.
The clock was expired. It was the first walk-off touchdown scored in NFL playoff history, except for the Super Bowl last year.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Keenum was trying to throw to the sideline to get it out of bounds, and all the Saints player had to do was tackle him in bounds, and instead he like dove at him with his head, took out his own player, and the Vikings receiver just had a clear shot to the end zone.
Yeah. All right, here it is. I'm watching it again. No, I'm sorry. The play started with 10 seconds on the clock. Yeah, that's what it was.
It was right at the end.
This is like a how many yard pass, like fucking.
And 60 yards.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Chris, he totally dives at him. The guy actually like lifts his leg and he goes under his leg.
Yeah, if he had not dove at him and just let him land, he could have tackled him or his backup could have tackled him and the game would have been over. But he tried to make a spectacular play and instead spectacularly missed and took out his.
Oh my God, this is amazing. I just love it.
So he's a rookie.
Yeah, he's a rookie.
An awesome season, but this is what he's going to be remembered for.
Yeah, yeah. It goes from like the 30 line on the Vikings side to like the 35 on the Saints side. Like that's insane.
Was it basically their last play?
Fourth quarter, 10 seconds. It was Saints 24, Vikings 23. I was at point.
But was it like their fourth down or like?
Yeah, third and 10.
No, I mean there was no more time left.
But I mean, they were either going to win. Yeah, they were either going to, make it that play, or the game was over.
That's hilarious.
And I wish they played this in slow motion. Did they play it in slow motion later in the clip? Yeah, here they did. Yeah, here they go. Yeah. Oh my God, it's so like I don't care for much football except for when like.
Dude, if I was in that bar in like fucking New Orleans, that would be giving me flashbacks to like the 2016 election, where you're like, yeah, everything's. Yeah, pass around some drinks. Oh, what the fuck is going on the TV here?
Yeah, and it was fucking terrifying too, because like I come from Philadelphia, where if that had happened, that bar would have been turned on burned on fire. So it was like, oh shit, we have to get back to our hotel. Like, we have to go inside now because this is going to get bad. But
the best part is how he just knocks the lights out of his other guy, who probably could have tackled him.
Tackle him, yeah.
Had his teammate not just barreled into him. I love that this whole play, this clip from the NFL, just is a minute and 20 seconds long of a 10-second play, and it just shows it from, like, 10 different angles.
I think I'm going to be watching the Patriots-Jags for sure, man.
You should. It's going to be a good game.
Yeah.
He's injured. So yeah, it'll happen.
I thought that was really funny. There were a bunch of articles where it was just like, during practice, some dude runs into Tom Brady's throwing hand. I was like, this is
what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, this is an article now. All right. Whatever.
All right. So anyway, Fozzie and Tony will fight it out in the AFC Championship. And
Fozzie will lose, and
is this the closest the Jags have come?
I feel like the Patriots beat them one other time in the conference finals.
I don't remember.
Mm.
I'm going to say yes, and I know nothing, but I want to say yes.
Just say yes.
Video game pundits in a nutshell.
But we'll be back next week. Did they make it there before? So 98 or 99?
Like way back.
Oh, way back. Like 20 years ago. Okay. Jeez.
Yeah. It's been a long time.
Well, they've only made the playoffs like 7 times. So.
Yeah.
Good God. And where are they from, the Jags?
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
Oh, okay. That explains a lot. Okay.
Where Fozzie's from.
The land of the Fozzie.
I should have guessed.
Home of the Brave.
Yeah, Brave, yeah.
They were in the conference championship in 2000, but they lost to the Titans.
Oh, the Titans. Oof.
That just sounds like a bad team to lose to. I've never heard of the Titans, so.
You don't remember the Titans? Oh.
Oh.
We both went there simultaneously.
I hate both of you.
Jeff and I are like mind meld.
That has to be scary, Tony. What? What happened?
Wasn't the Titans that lost that playoff game or whatever?
By like 2 yards?
Yes.
Yes, that was.
And
that's a classic game right there.
New England did beat them in 97, 20-6 in the AFC Championship.
A 21-year rematch in the making.
Yeah, that's
right. That's math. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, 21 years.
All right. Well, when is that game? What day is it? Sunday?
Sunday.
And then what? And then that's the other championship, right, on the other side?
It's 3 o'clock.
Vikings-Eagles.
Are they both on Sunday this week?
Yeah, they're both on Sunday.
And then what is it, 2 weeks, 3 weeks until the Super Bowl?
2 weeks. There's a week in between.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's like, it's what, February 4th?
Sounds right.
Sure, we'll go with that. Whatever you say, Peter.
Oh, shit. I might be working that day. That's bad. I don't need to work
that day. It's good. You make some money.
No, we do not make any money on Super Bowl Sunday. Why? Because we don't have any Super Bowl specials because we're morons.
Well,
don't you work at a pizza place or something?
Yeah.
And you don't have any Super
Bowl specials? You'll be making some money.
No, we don't. Okay. It's insane. But anyways, I digress.
Yep. All right.
I'm going to say goodnight.
Yep, that's a good idea. Right. I'm going to go to sleep.
Good night.
Talk to you later.
Has the podcast been over for a while? When did we end the podcast?
I don't know. I forget.
Okay. Did we actually end the podcast?
I was going to say, he never asked Jeff to say goodnight, so I just assumed we were talking about football for the last 20 minutes of the podcast.
Yeah, I think I tried to say goodnight and then I'd have Jeff say goodnight, but then we diverged again. Jeff, say goodnight.
No, Jeff is gone.
Fuck, where did he go? Did he just leave?
Yeah. Good night.
That's why I said I was going to say goodnight.
All right, you say goodnight, Pete.
Goodnight.